Welcome to the Consumer Insights Podcast. Every episode, we speak with an insights leader from one of the world's leading brands to hear how they're integrating consumer insights into strategy to move business forward. I'm your host, Thor Olav Filogen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Consumer Insights Podcast. Today, I'm excited to have a brilliant thought leader in the insights industry joining me for what I know will be a fantastic conversation. I'm thrilled to introduce today's guest, Priscilla McKinney, CEO and Mama Bird at Little Bird Marketing, as well as the host of not one, but two industry podcasts, the Digital Transformation Success Podcast and Ponderings from the Perch. Thank you so much for joining me today, Priscilla.
This is going to be awesome, Thor. I've been looking forward to this because I have been listening to your podcast since inception. So I was really delighted when your team called and asked me to be on. I feel like I'm very important. So this is going to be fun.
I'm honored. Thank you. But firstly, maybe you could take a couple minutes to tell us about yourself, your journey, and how you came to work in the role you're in today.
Yeah, you know, I actually am a cultural anthropologist by trade. So how's that for kicking off a market research podcast? But I understand the basis of market research. And then I grew up in another culture. And so I understand this idea of a different worldview and trying to get someone else's opinion and all the layers of cultural understanding that need to happen there. But I am a marketer, so I'm not a market researcher, but I have really honed my marketing skills and gotten to know this market research industry very intimately so that I can serve market research companies in this industry and helping them really to put their best foot forward and to identify their most highly prized next great client and really get the messaging right for them.
I think that's something we need. We need that help getting the right foot forward. But before we dive into more specific questions, I always like to start by asking, from your perspective, how would you define an insight? And has that view changed over the course of your career, coming from a marketeer's background to serving market researchers?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because like I said, I do listen to your podcast. So I've actually learned a little along the way of what some of your other guests have said. And I would agree with one key thing that has been said in that an insight is not just an aha moment because there is information we can get from things and we go, oh, okay, I didn't know that. But does it matter? It's kind of like to me that so what? For me, an insight really is, but what am I going to do with this information? You know, and I understand that the underpinning of that is to say a really valuable insight is one that helps you make a great decision. But I also think my perspective of it is maybe a little bit different. And it's about how do I make a different connection? And I think this is because I come from outside the industry. And so many times I find that I make a very bizarre creative connection between things that are two different points that other people have thought were unrelated because I'm not too myopic inside the market research industry. So I am able somehow sometimes to see a correlation of something that is a success in another industry and say, wait a minute, what's the equivalent over here? How could we make that work? If business is finding this interesting, how could market researchers make that work? And so for me, an insight is really not just saying, okay, I know something I didn't know and I can take action, but can I make a unique enough action? Can I make something that is going to be a change maker here based on this? Can I set myself really apart from my competitor with this information?
I love that. And given what you just described, the bird's eye view of the industry that you have, both research and brand side, why would you say that marketing consumer insights are so important? And what does integrating them allow businesses to do?
Well, first of all, I love that you said bird's eye view because I love a good usage of my Ponderings from the Perch and my Little Bird Marketing, and we call ourselves over here the peeps. So, but you're right. I do have an interesting perch from which to view what you all are doing, and it gives me the ability to speak into it in an interesting way. But why it matters for business is that simply two big things. Number one, nobody has an unlimited budget. That unicorn of a client does not exist. We all have to make very hard decisions about how we're going to spend our money, our time, our efforts, our best thinking time, whatever it is. We're trying to come up with an economy that will work for us. And so on one hand, it is an idea of some limitations. And limitations, I do, when we see them properly, are not a negative thing. They are a thing that gives us some parameters, and then we get to spark the creativity from it, right? So it's super important because we can't just do everything. So we have to do what we can do meaningfully. And I will say from my perspective, you know, the strategy that we work with clients, I often tell people that they probably come to us thinking they're going to get the big new creative idea, which we love creative ideas. But honestly, some of the best creative ideas have come from my client when I've asked them a question, and I've just kind of been the midwife of it, right? And the difference is a lot of people can have a great idea, but can you execute on it? And so we come alongside and help people execute on that great idea. So you can have a great idea, but I think that the power that we give our clients and that we're hoping to give to the industry as a whole is the power of saying no. And it's not always marketing. Yes, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do that. It's saying, wait a minute, we can start saying no to those things because it does not actually meet all of our criteria. And so why is insights important is because it helps us narrow the focus. It helps us really say no to some other things that are distractions, really. And if you think that's what's happening for us as firms, that's also what happens for brands. We're delivering to them great insights to help them start saying no to the millions of things that they could be doing to market. And I mean, just think about social channels, just think about social influencers, just think about TV, you know, there's so many channels and the world is so noisy. So the power to say no is what I think comes from really good insights.
I absolutely love that you put that conversation with the client at the center of it. And you spoke on the podcast, now that's significant, about keeping humanity at the heart of market research initiatives. And one of the things I think you really insightfully touched on was how we all have to constantly switch between our consumer selves and our work selves. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, here we are driving to work, which I actually still drive to work. So I know I'm the unicorn, that's fine. But I'm driving to work and let's say I'm typically listening to a podcast and there might be an ad in the podcast. And I might listen to that and go, let me reach over here and let me just, you know, forward 10 seconds, forward 15 seconds, whatever it is. I need to be awake and alive to what I'm doing as a consumer right in that moment. Because then I come into my office and then I say, hey, who wants to buy an ad on my podcast? Well, I need to be very mindful. Why did I just forward through someone else's ad? What happened there? Was there a disconnect? Was it interruptive to me? Was it not relevant? I need to be awake and alive in that moment that I was a consumer and almost looking objectively at my own behavior, because now it needs to inform what I do as I walk into my office as a CEO, sit down at a marketing desk, and now inform people what they should do. But wait a minute, 2 seconds ago, I was a consumer. And so it is really that battle to be able to say, bring humanity back to it. Would I listen to that? And I'm constantly saying to my team when they deliver different content to me or an email, and I say, where's the value here? You know, would you open this email if you got it? Come on now, let's be the consumers. And I want people on my team to say that to me too, to be asking me, are you sure that's what we want to put out? So I think that's the value of really saying we need to keep the humanity in it, is that we can't just come and simply do our jobs and check things off the list.
I absolutely love that. And what would you say is the difference between bias and tapping into our consumer selves?
Well, I talk a lot about personal preference. And, you know, since I'm usually speaking to an audience of data scientists, I like doing surveys. So often I say, well, raise your hand in the audience if you are a diehard Lyft fan. And raise your hand in the audience if you're a diehard Uber fan. Like, where do you go to first, right? And obviously, if we're in London, then I'll add black cab. Or if we're in New York, like we just were, or I would add a yellow cab, whatever it is. The point is that I ask people about just kind of putting them in that mindset as a consumer, what do I choose? And then I say, when was the last time you got in that Uber, that Lyft, that black cab, that yellow cab, whatever it was, and you said to the driver, you know what, just take me anywhere you want to go. Nobody does that. Now there's no hands being raised in the audience, right? But what I try and help people understand is the first question I asked was a matter of personal preference. And the second one was a matter of strategy, right? So it doesn't matter where I'm going to execute this strategy. It matters what strategy I was going to execute. And so kind of to answer your question there, this is also, again, an awakening of the humanity of it all, right? Is to say, I'm not going to choose the things for my clients or set up research in a way that is just inherent with all of my assumptions. Instead, I need to pull back out for a minute and say, yeah, but where was I trying to go? Let's start with the destination in mind, and then we'll come back to some preferences and some things like that. And that is not going to, of course, as we know, eradicate bias, but it is going to help us think more clearly about what we're trying to achieve.
That's an absolutely great way to think about it and a great hack, you know, if you need to hack your own system in terms of as much as possible, taking a step away from whatever bias you might have. But could you also maybe give us an example of how your team at Little Bird Marketing used an insight to lead a better campaign or project? And give us maybe some context on what the insight was, how you identified it, and what type of end result you got from it.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a surprise to many people who do actually know me that I'm going to talk a little bit about social influence, but I do believe very strongly in the power of social media, like it or not like it. The point is, it has absolutely changed the way we live, the way we work, the way we interact. And I know when I was speaking about it before COVID, a lot of people kept brushing me off and saying, well, our teams do really well when they're face to face with people, and we believe in word of mouth, and we want to make meaningful connections. And there was always, there's some other things going on. And I really wanted to push people to say, if you haven't brought your entire team through the concept of being digitally transformed and being able to do your job without being face to face, then somebody is already eating your lunch. You just haven't been told yet. And someday someone will tell you. Unfortunately, that message may come on a pink slip. And for us in the US, we use that as a kind of a euphemism for you've been fired. And CEOs can get fired that same way too. And sometimes what we don't know will hurt us. We don't know that our competitors are really excelling at getting to more of their prospects at scale, because we don't see it happening, right? So we might go to a conference and think, oh, our competitor's not here, we must be doing really well. Or your competitor's not here, they don't need to be here because they're doing so well digitally. So this is a long elliptical explanation to give you your answer. We really understand the insight that we knew from some studies we did online was really how it was possible, what it was people were looking for, professionals, what they were looking for on LinkedIn specifically, that would move their career forward, number one, help them push their brand forward, number two, and I mean their personal brand, and also just help them execute on their day-to-day job. And then the last piece was they wanted personal connection. So we really got an interesting study and a look at what people were wanting in this industry, in this B2B industry. And we took that and said, okay, if that's true, then we can actually take so much marketing message online in a meaningful, meaningful way. And so we've been using that to teach teams how to bring digital transformation and increase their personal and business social influence through LinkedIn in order to do a better job. And I've got to tell you, somebody who I'm going to give a shout out to, Ryan Berry over at Zappi, because he had me come in and talk to a group of his clients. Okay. He rewarded his clients with some of my teaching, saying, here's how you can wield social influence. And so we brought that insight to him, but he turned around and saw a completely different connection. He had me speak to a group of some of his best clients and say, hey, you can use this information, this insight she has about how you can digitally transform your teams so that you all can get online and collaborate better. Even people in the room that were potentially competitors. he could see the beauty of that for opening up and expanding a much bigger conversation online in the industry and really helping us all move forward, kind of the rising tide lifts all boats kind of theme. But that's where we took the insights. It changed what we did. But then someone else took it and said, oh, and now it changes what we do. And now it's changing what those people are doing in the market research insights. So I just feel like that's such an exponential and a beautiful example of how insights from one team can be moving across and really helping the whole industry.
I absolutely love that example, Priscilla. And if we think and talk about tooling and what insights professionals require in terms of support, what tools do you believe as essential to support insights professionals and why? And alternatively, which tools do you think holds insights professionals back?
Well, I definitely think that the lack of really understanding how to wield social influence is holding a lot of people back. But the other thing I would say of what is needed, and this is my outside perspective coming into market research, I believe there is not enough business acumen among market researchers. I get that they are professionals in what they do. I get that they may be amazing data scientists. They may be the most deep thinking ethnographer and on. They may have the most amazing technical platform. But if they don't really understand business in itself, their end user is not going to get as much benefit. And hear me out on this. I heard something really amazing from an insights gal one time through Women in Research, and it really stuck with me. She said, you know, market research professionals often get stuck answering the problem the end client presents with, right? So I'm going to solve their problem. No. What you need to do is solve their boss's problem. And in order to do that, I believe market researchers need to get armed with more understanding about business KPIs, about strategies in campaigning, and how their insights are going to be used to drive brands forward. They need to get very smart about understanding how to read a P&L. You know, just like some basic fundamentals about what is driving this business. And that to me is about then gaining the opportunity and being armed with the knowledge to not only solve the immediate market research problem, but then to solve their boss's problem. And that's when a market researcher, I think, becomes invaluable.
I love that, Priscilla. And I also believe, based on what you just said, that being able to solve your boss's problem, those skills are effectively the skills that the data and insights team need in order to elevate the role of their team within the organization. Would you agree?
I would. And you know, a lot of people are talking about, oh, market researchers want a seat at the table. I'm like, great, get a seat at the table. But when you come to the table, what do you have to offer? Are you waxing on about your findings, or are you helping them really truly understand how they're going to activate on those? And, you know, I'll give you guys a shout out at Stravito in this. I think solving someone's boss's problem and things like this, they need to be listening for a boss's boss says, didn't we do this research already?
You know, and so we've heard that many times,
right? And so I think this is why you all are a great fit and such an important part of the ecosystem for market research, is because some researchers are like, oh, we'll just do that research. Wait. We already did it. You know what we need to be able to do? Find it. And so sometimes I think market researchers will get really happy ears and say, oh, good, we got another project, without really thinking, wait, we did this project 18 months ago. If we had it in a system that is searchable and is somehow a significant library and is user-friendly to dig it back up, then we would really be talking, because now the next time we do research, it will be new and it will be adding to the issue, not just repeating stuff just simply because we can't find it. And so I think Stravito just is a big solution to the solving the boss's problem.
Preaching to the converted, Priscilla. But if you were to give advice to someone looking to get involved in the world of research and insights, what three tips would you give them?
Okay, three. Let me think if I can limit it to just three. But number one, get involved in other associations, other groups. First of all, I'm such a huge proponent for Women in Research. It is free to join, and you do not have to be a woman to join. This is about advancing women and really giving opportunities and also making the right kind of industry so that women can contribute what women do have. So it's amazing. I love it when the men come to these events, but it is free to join, and it's womeninresearch.org. And I am telling you, we have each other's back. And it is an amazing experience. So I cannot even think of a reason why someone wouldn't join this, right? And the next thing I would say is engagement. You get out of this industry what you put into it. I really believe that you need to be looking for places that need help. And I'm not saying that it's all your responsibility, but I think if everybody helps just a little bit in this market, then we can have an incredibly powerful industry and really powerful connections to each other. And so I would say the second piece of advice is engage. And when you engage, I would say start with giving, even if it's very, very small. And the last thing I would say is don't underestimate the power of collaborating with your competitor. I think I see in so many industries, people shying away from their competitors, keeping secrets. Now, I'm not saying we get in a room and we give away trade secrets in no way, shape, or form. But you would be surprised how much can be done with your competitors. And I'll give another shout out to Sarah Kotva over at Fieldwork, because during an incredibly difficult crisis of COVID and not being able to be face-to-face, can you imagine what was going on in the face-to-face market research vertical? It was incredibly painful days. And she was able to look for opportunities to collaborate instead of just focusing on the negative. And so looking for that bright spot and seizing it, she pulled together all of her competitors, got them in a room together and said, you know what, together we can keep this industry afloat and we can participate in getting a swell of interest and of reminding people of the value of face-to-face when it is safe for us to come back to it. And so I just show that as another really fantastic example of what someone else has done in this industry. And you can follow hashtag face-to-face MRX to really see what they've been able to do. But these competitors came together and really bolstered their own industry. And I think that's a great example of another way. That's my third tip of just look for ways to collaborate.
Such solid advice. And I know a lot of people talk about consumer centricity, going to the human that is the consumer. What opportunities do you think there are for insights professionals to make true business impact and to challenge the status quo?
Well, challenging the status quo, I've got to say, starts at home. So if you're not challenging your own mindset, then I don't think that you can come to the table and ask someone else to really question their own. I think it's a way of engaging with the world. And I would say as a cultural anthropologist, it's also understanding, look, there's an emic view and there's an etic view. And it doesn't matter what you do or as far away as we get from our own strategies or goals, there's always another way to look at things, right? And so I think it's about really tapping into that and saying, have you done everything you can in your role at your company with your contacts to get this done? Because otherwise, don't expect that you're going to be able to come and challenge someone else's view. So I guess for me, I think with anything, it always starts at home. I say that about my last tip about collaborating. I always look to collaborate. If I want to ask someone else to do that, all three of those tips, those are things I'm actively engaged in. And so no matter what it is that you think needs to be done in this industry, start at home.
I love that tip. And I think you've already given up some really good examples of other people that do great work. Do you have an example of someone that you think does this really well?
Well, I think Dinah Bowen is an amazing leader. I am just in awe of her smarts, number one. She's so incredibly smart. But for me, a sign of an incredibly intelligent person is one who can distill that information into very understandable perspectives. She's not someone who walks into the room and either number one, demands the space, or number two, believes that her way is the way that things are going to get done. But I see her with Fortune 100 company after Fortune 100 company really walk in and have the ability to distill very complicated issues into something very understandable. And I just admire it so much.
And When you take a perspective of, you know, the wider industry and everything that's going on, what would you highlight as the biggest challenges that could and are facing insights professional and the wider industry in the near future?
Oh, I love this question. Okay. I'm like rubbing my hands together. I have seen from a little bit of an outsider's perspective, this revolving door happening in market research. Are we going to insource all the people? Are we going to outsource the work? Are we going to insource? Are we going to outsource? It's just like, it just goes around and around, right? Let's take Coke, for example. Okay. Major brand. So everybody can understand this. You can wrap your mind around that. Are they going to have all of their personnel internal? Or are they going to actually outsource certain things, certain very technical insights that they need? So I have seen from Coke to everybody, from all the way down to the smallest, try and figure out, are we better off having all of our insights team inside or outside? Now, in the case of a lot of tech and platforms and things that I think that Strivita would fit into that system, like it's an outside tech help that enables something that we're trying to do. But some companies would look at that and say, oh, a Strivita, oh, we'll build it. Really? Is that what you're going to do with your resources? You're going to try and build that when it's already been built, you know? So I see companies struggling with this, and they struggle with it from the big side of tech or from just an expertise. Think about a UX researcher, a CX researcher, which is really fancy words of saying qualitative researcher, but they try and figure out, do I want to hire this really expensive person and put them on my team when 18 months later, we're not doing that kind of research anyway? And now I got to let them go, or I need it only occasionally. So I see this revolving door, and my feeling right now, especially with when we had the great resignation and people are struggling with understanding hybrid roles and trying to figure out so much internally with business itself, the outsourcing is highly appealing. And so I see a big trend right now for going and staying outsourced for quite a while. And so I would just say that to people in the market research world, number one, beware. And number two, hey, opportunity out there. If you really specialize and you're the only people that can help, this is a good time to really make your case and show how special you are. Because also, recession, budgets may be getting tighter. People are pumping the brakes a little bit. And so that can be very good for a high-priced expert, even though that seems contrary. It can be very good because people are not as willing to faff about with a lower-cost solution when they know they need an answer right now and an answer they can rely on. So I think the opportunity right now is for very highly specialized people and insights and technology to come in and really show their value. And I think it will stick.
Thank you so much for that perspective. Unfortunately, Priscilla, we're getting to the end of our conversation today. And as much as I would have loved to spend more time, I only have one last question for you, which is, who in the world of insights would you love to have lunch with?
Thor, are you kidding me? You're putting me on the spot. You know me enough to know I'm not going to have lunch with just one person. You know, but I will say this, maybe turn your question around just a little bit. I just recently had lunch with Kevin Kruper. He's at Old Salt, an interesting insights think tank. And I've got to say, I guess my answer to you is I would take lunch with anybody because I think there's always something to learn. And people often ask me, it's like, oh, why are you going to lunch with so-and-so? I don't know. I'll tell you after I get back, you know? And so I never turn down any of these opportunities. And if you would like to have lunch with me, anyone who's listening to this podcast, I would. And even if you don't know why we should connect, we'll figure it out when we get there. And so to me, I think this idea of kind of superlative, like who would be the best person? I don't know that there is a best person because to me, it kind of goes against my mindset where I don't know what interesting idea is going to come out of the next conversation. I just want to have that next conversation. And so for me, whoever it is that presents, first of all, they got to want to have a really good lunch and really, I mean, we're drinking, just so we're clear. But, you know, if we're doing that, then I want to have the next great conversation with the next person who is willing to open up and put some cards on the table. I don't want to have a conversation where I'm trying to wiggle something out of somebody. I guess that would preclude me from meeting with some people, but I am up for that next great conversation that opens a door that I just did not see and I couldn't have planned for.
I absolutely love that perspective, Priscilla. And I think that there's so many good things that come out of people that have the same mindset as you. Wow. This has been such an interesting conversation, Priscilla. The perspective that you have on the industry, on insights, is truly unique. And I think there's so much we can all learn from. I'm going to play back some of the things I brought with me from this conversation. I love the fact how you said that an insight is what I'm going to do with the information, why it matters. Nobody has unlimited budget, and we are trying to come up with an economy on how to make it work. It gives you the power of saying no. Unfortunately, the industry needs to step up. There's not enough business acumen among market researchers. And if the people that are trying to get a seat at the table do not understand the business itself, if they don't understand how to read a P&L, then they will not be able to solve their boss's problem. And that's really when it starts to matter. If you are looking to get into market research, start by getting involved in communities. As an example, start with Women in Research. As another step, start to make sure that you have engagement. You get out of the industry what you put into it. Start with giving. And lastly, the third tip, don't underestimate the power of cooperation with your competitor. I absolutely love this, Priscilla. And for all of our listeners, I will personally bring forward the suggestion you gave, which is remember that challenging the status quo starts at home. Now, I know that I've learned a lot from talking with you today, and I'm sure our audience has as well. Priscilla, thank you so much for joining me today.
It was totally an honor. My pleasure. Thanks, Thor.
The Consumer Insights Podcast is brought to you by Stravito, the user-friendly enterprise insights platform. To find out more about Stravito, visit stravito.com and make sure to search for Consumer Insights in Apple, Google, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Click follow so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Stravito, thank you for listening.